जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, यमुना तीरावनचारी, राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा, ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट 47। तत्रावशिष्ट ये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा। तत्रावशिष्ट ये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा। तत्रावशिष्ट ये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा। तत्रावशिष्ट ये वृक्षा भीतादुहितरं तदा उज्जह्रुस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा तत्रावशिष्टये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जाहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदृष्टा स्वयं तत्रावशिष्टये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा लेडीज प्लीज तत्रावशिष्टा ये वृक्षा भीता दुहितरं तदा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदृष्टा स्वयं भुवा तत्रावशिष्टये वृक्षा उज्जहृस्ते प्रचेतोभ्य उपदिष्टा स्वयं भुवा तत्र देर अवशिष्टा रिमेनिंग ये विच वृक्षाः ट्रीज भीताः बीइंग अफ्रेड दुहितरम देयर डॉटर तदा एट द टाइम उज्जहृ डिलीवर्ड ते दे प्रचेतोभ्य अन टू द प्रचेतस उपदिष्टाः बीइंग एडवाइज्ड स्वयं भुवा बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The remaining trees, being very much afraid of the Prachetas, immediately delivered their daughter at the advice of Lord Brahma. Purport. The daughter of the trees is referred to in text 13 of this chapter. This daughter was born of Kandu and Pramlocha. The society girl Pramlocha, after giving birth to the child, immediately left for the heavenly kingdom. While the child was crying, the king of the moon took compassion upon her and saved her by putting his finger into her mouth. This child was cared for by the trees, and when she grew up by the order of Lord Brahma, she was delivered to the Prachetas as their wife. The name of the girl was Marisha, as the next verse will explain. It was the predominating deity of the trees that delivered the daughter. In this connection, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada states, Vrikshaha tadadhishtatra devataha. The trees means the controlling deity of those trees. In Vedic literatures, we find that there is a controlling deity of the water. Similarly, there is a controlling deity of the trees. The Prachetas were engaged in burning all the trees to ashes as they considered the trees their enemies. To pacify the Prachetas, the predominating deity of the trees, under the advice of Lord Brahma, delivered the daughter Marisha. With your permission, I'd like to do the next one also. Techa brahmana adeshan marisham upaye mire yasyam mahad abhagnyanad ajani ajanayo nijaha. Following the order of Lord Brahma, all the Prachetas accepted the girl as their wife. From the womb of this girl, the son of Lord Brahma named Daksha took birth. Daksha had to take birth from the womb of Marisha due to his disobeying and disrespecting Lord Mahadeva, Shiva. Consequently, he had to give up his body twice. Purport. In this connection, the word Mahad Avijnanat is significant. King Daksha was the son of Lord Brahma. Therefore, in a previous birth, he was a Brahmana. But because of his behaving like a non-Brahmana, a Brahmana, by insulting or disrespecting Lord Mahadeva, he had to take birth within the semen of a Kshatriya. That is to say, he became the son of the Prachetas. Not only that, but because of his disrespecting Lord Shiva, he had to undergo the tribulation of taking birth from within the womb of a woman. In the Daksha Yajna arena, he was once killed by Lord Shiva's servant, Virabhadra. Because that was not sufficient, he again took birth from the womb of Marisha. At the end of Daksha Yajna and the disastrous incidents there, Daksha offered his prayer to Lord Shiva. Although he had to give up his body and take birth from the womb of a woman impregnated by the semen of a Kshatriya, he received all opulence by the grace of Lord Shiva. These are subtle laws of material nature. Unfortunately, people in this modern age do not know how these laws are working. Having no knowledge of the eternity of the spirit soul and its transmigration, the population of the present age is in the greatest ignorance. Because of this, it is said in Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 10, Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadrutaha. The total population in this age of Kali is very bad, lazy, unfortunate, and disturbed by material conditions. Therefore, Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So continuing from yesterday, the Prachetas, when they came out of the water after 1,000 years, they saw the entire earth covered with tall trees. That means there was no room for land to be used for agriculture. It became a chaotic forest-like condition. Without land for agriculture, one cannot have grains. And without grains, one cannot perform sacrifice. Without sacrifice, there is no mercy or rain. And without this whole cycle of sacrifice, one cannot become elevated to higher statuses of life, to higher planetary systems. So the trees, the verse had said, the trees became obstruction to elevation. They became an obstruction to the path to the heavenly realm. So when the Prachetas became angry and by their glance and vision started burning all the trees with the air that they breathed from their mouth, they burned down all the trees. So the predominating deity of the trees, Vanaspati it's called, appeared and said, whoa, hold on a second. Please don't do this. They were advised by Lord Brahma to give the daughter who was in their care, Duhitara, to the Prachetas. The daughter's name is Marisha. Marisha is actually biologically born to sage Kandu and the heavenly society girl Pramlocha. Now Pramlocha left as soon as the child was born. We don't want to get into analyzing what must be Pramlocha's conditions or Marisha's psychological condition. We don't have to do that. It is just said that the baby was crying naturally for milk and care. So the king of moon, Somadeva, took pity or compassion upon the baby and gave her his finger to suck upon. Now we know the moon provides all the necessary taste in vegetables, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes, Gama Avishya, I enter this world. So she was fed by the moon god. And the trees, the predominating deity of the trees, took care of this little girl. So one thing we can understand, this is not directly said, but this is something we can understand, that the trees have a particular characteristic or particular set of characteristics, which we heard yesterday, that they're very, very unconditionally charitable. They do not distinguish good versus bad when they have to do some service for others. And the trees are constantly useful for the benefit of others. In fact, it's described that the tree is so generous that it provides the wood for the axe by which it can be cut down. So there are many qualities of a tree that we can learn from. So we are advised to be like the tree, or in fact, more than the tree. Taro riva sahishnuna, more tolerant than a tree. Another aspect of a tree is a sattvika tree, a tree in the mode of goodness, is that it is laden with fruit. And a tree that's laden with fruit bends, versus a tree that has no fruit, it stands like that. So it said a Vaishnava with qualities is humble, he bends down. And a person who has no good qualities stands erect, as they say, with pride in their heart. So the tree has many lessons to teach, and we can know that this Marisha was taught those qualities. The fact that they took care of her indicates that, or we safely say, that she has those qualities. And so she is fit to be the wife of these very, very powerful persons. So the pastime is that the Prachetas impregnated Marisha that she could have one son. And that son was Daksha in his part two life. It's a sequel, Daksha 1, Daksha 2. So just imagine the potency of Daksha. Persons who, the Prachetas, who meditated under sea for 1,000 years, reciting a powerful set of prayers given by Lord Shiva, personally visited and blessed by Lord Vishnu, when they impregnate Marisha, a very, very powerful, great son is born. So he's not an ordinary person. Being Daksha is not ordinary. In fact, it's described earlier in the third canto, when Daksha used to walk, people would wonder, is this the sun god? He's so effulgent, so brilliant, so potent, because he was the direct son of Lord Brahma. So we'll get into the unfortunate condition that from son, direct son of Brahma, he became another Daksha in the womb of Marisha and Prachetas. So, but before that, here the predominating deity of the trees, out of fear, brought their daughter because their son, because the son-in-law was upset. It's a good lesson. Don't mess around with the son-in-law. He can really cause a lot of trouble for the parents-in-law. So here, the Prachetas, they accept Marisha because this is what Lord Brahma's arrangement is. And this is an important principle, that the head of the society, here Lord Brahma, makes an arrangement, and the prachetas are just satisfied with the simple instruction that they were given. No need to be angry. Here, marry Marisha and perform your duties. Life is simple if the heart is simple. And life is extremely complicated if the heart is complicated. The heart becomes complicated because of complications that we add on into our lives. Like in Kali Yuga, the human life is such that simple things are easily rejected, in fact, often looked upon with suspicion. When something is very complicated, either the procedure is complicated, or the explanation is complicated, or the goal is very complicated, Kali Yuga people like it. Because Kali Yuga people, as described, are the age is very bad. Very bad means things that are straightforward are not palatable. Things that are crooked, very twisted, and not easy to get to, people like. Because people like to be challenged in Kali Yuga. And the challenge is, the real challenge, in the previous ages, people took up the challenge of being self-realized or becoming self-realized. That was the challenge. You understand what I mean by challenge. Not in a, I have to win this like that method, but that if I have life energy, then let me use it for self-realization. That was the challenge that they took up. And they worked very hard to meet that challenge. But Kali Yuga people are a little different. They also work very hard. But they don't know what they're working very hard for. And the interesting part is that if you ask them, that if we were asked, because we are the special Kali Yuga personalities, if we were asked, what are you working so very hard for? The additional foolishness is that we can even justify what we are working very hard for. What do you mean? I have to pay my bills. I have to commute to work. I have to make life move from this situation to that situation. What do you mean that you should not work hard? In fact, if you are a person who is cultivating spiritual life, you're actually foolish. Like, wow, you just gave everything away? Come on, don't be lazy. Do something. So working hard becomes the number one goal of the people of Kali Yuga. Working very hard for something that is available without any work. Without any work. To get some food to eat, one doesn't have to really work very hard. Especially with Srila Prabhupada's mercy, one doesn't even have to do that. You just sign up for the diner's club and everything you get. Right? Prasadam is available. Prabhupada challenged. Who's asking you to work very hard? Come stay with us, have prasadam, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Oh, no, no, Swamiji. We have to work very hard. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. There's a beautiful song. I want the house by the sea, the car, etc. But the poor fellow will work very hard, get the house by the sea, the expensive car, and write it all within the prenuptial agreement. That if honey, things don't work out, you get to keep all of it. Wow. Things like, it was very, very silly. So anyway, Mahat Avijnanath is significant. it's in the same tone of things. Mahat avijnanat means out of a out of disrespect to a great person. The point is, when there is disrespect to a great person, here in the case of Daksha and Lord Shiva, the next set of consequences are more troubling. Life becomes complicated. So Daksha, as we know from third canto, he insulted Lord Shiva. He took Lord Shiva to be ordinary. Said, who is this? When I walked into the assembly hall, he did not care to stand up. Does he not know I am the direct son of Lord Brahma? I am Prajapati, I am so powerful. Who is he? He sits in the crematorium, naked, smeared with ash all over, ash smeared all over his body, his neck decorated with a garland of skulls and snakes all around, hair matted. What does he think? He sees him. Who does he think he is? Oh, by the way, I am his father-in-law. Shouldn't he be respecting me? And so when his daughter came for the Thanksgiving party, he didn't even acknowledge her presence. In fact, he said something really silly about Lord Shiva. And so Lord Shiva became very upset. Actually, Lord Shiva's followers became very upset. Nandi became so angry. And so there was cursing and counter-cursing. And Lord Shiva plucked some hair from his head and smashed it to the ground. And poof, came out Veerabhadra. And Veerabhadra went and challenged everyone in the Daksha Yajna, caught hold of Daksha, put his head on the sacrificial altar, and pow, chopped his head off. Oh no, Daksha. Then they all went to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva was pacified, and they put on a head of a goat. So forever he can remember, you don't mess with Lord Mahadeva, effulgent personality walking around with a goat head, bleating, I guess. So that insult was too much. And Prabhupada's writing that that was not sufficient. He had to take birth in a lower condition, from a brahmana to a kshatriya. That means he entered the semen of the prachetas. And the unfortunate condition was that he had to take birth from a woman's womb. Great personalities, like prior to this, Daksha did not take birth from a woman's womb. They came directly from Brahma's mind. So Lord Vishnu never takes birth. Lord Brahma, again, great personality, no birth, no need for a woman's womb. Lord Shiva came from the forehead of Lord Brahma. Everyone else needs a mommy. So this is considered, in the Vedic perspective, a lower status, lower way of being born. So Daksha had to be born from the womb of a woman. What it means is that he had to take on a very in a lower condition of life, material body, trapped inside the garbha for 9 months, like that. As we say, birth, death, old age, disease. One of the reasons birth is a suffering condition because the embryo is, a suspended condition for 40 weeks, like that, trapped in the amniotic fluid, etc., etc. Cannot float around, cannot fit, uncomfortable condition. Anyway, we all came like that. So that's our condition. So here, he says he had to take birth from Marisha and the Prachaitas. Then Prabhupada gets into, these are the subtle laws of material nature. To know subtle laws is important, because subtle laws are more powerful than the gross laws. And one who knows subtle laws, or one who's in general subtle, in life can cultivate higher consciousness. Now, Kali Yuga people are not subtle. In fact, they, even if it is said to them, like us, we all are products of Kali Yuga, even if it was explained in no confusing terms, still we don't get it. We have to be told in a way that that's even if it is said in very direct ways, it's difficult to get it. Because in Kali Yuga, people, the Prabhupada says, the total population in this age of Kali Yuga is very bad. What is the very bad? Manda, the very bad, it says very bad, lazy and unfortunate and disturbed by material conditions. Very bad because of the modes of passion and ignorance. The mode of goodness gives people the opportunity to think about higher things in life. And it's the lower modes, the passion and ignorance, that don't allow for such thought. In fact, passion obstructs pure thoughts. Right? It's called raja. Raja means dust. And ignorance does not only encourage good thoughts, it kills any good thought because it's called darkness. Because in passion, one might even think, should I do this for the others? And the passion will say, no, no, just think of yourself. Ah, okay, that's good. I like that. This is called passion. An ignorant person cannot even think, oh, I should be doing for others. Oh, sorry, it didn't even occur to me. So in that sense, very bad, because people are only either thinking about themselves, they don't even think about their families. That's the very bad part of Kali Yuga. They say, my family and all that, but they don't even think about their family. They think about themselves only. And lazy. If you look out there, people don't seem to be lazy. They are also up when the devotees are up. When I drive in for Mangala Arati, the other people are also busy. They're also driving. They're going to the train station, the bus station. They're working very hard, you know. Earlier rush hour was, I think, between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. And between 5 and 6, that was called rush hour. When does rush hour start now? 5 o'clock in the morning. When does rush hour start in the afternoon? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, ends at 8 o'clock. Well, everybody's in a rush. So the lazy means lazy for spiritual cultivation. The very busy, the very active for material work. Going to work, going to work. Very active. As soon as you say, we have some spiritual discussions, please, very tired. You know, I've been working very hard. Saturday or Sunday is the only day I get to sit in front of the TV. I can't come. I can't come. I don't have time. Very lazy. There's a bumper sticker. I owe, therefore I go. To work I go. I owe. After work I go. People are in debt. And they have to work very hard to clear that debt. So they're very active in that sense. Because if they don't work, they can't get anything to eat. And if they don't have a job, they can't eat, they can't have sex. What's the use of living? I mean, it's probably better to die. And what if they don't get the little, you know, alcohol once in a while, Friday night, whatever, and that's all life's about. In fact, it's forget the misery of working very hard. So that's called that they're unfortunate. The misfortune is that they are so aspiring for the six-pack, but not for the six sets of things that Rupa Goswami gives us, right? Everything is six. Six-pack, six Vegas, six things to do, six things to avoid. It's just a matter of which six they pick up. And they're unfortunate because they make wrong choices. I say they, you get the idea. The Kali Yuga mentality is that so much advice is available to make the wrong choice. Everybody is giving advice, correct? My favorite term is, if you have a doubt, very quickly you get an answer from Sri Srimad Google Acharya. All you have to do is, and you get the answer from Google. Everything, what to do, what not to do, who's God, who's not God, whether God exists or not, or how you should make money, how you should try this, what careers are the most paying careers, how you should live your life, how you should date someone, what are the ways to satisfy the women, how do the men get satisfied. All advice is available on Google. Kali Yuga is unfortunate because all advice is wrong. And all the advice is just so people make wrong choices. I mean, the intention is not that you make wrong choices. But the intention is, sometimes you can even assume, oh, someone has a good intention. But the range of operation is from terrible advice to wrong advice. Now you pick your poison. Because there is nothing called good advice. Good advice is available in the Bhagavatam. Good advice is available with the Bhagavatas. And good advice is available in the association of Krishna and the sadhus, like the Prachaitas. They have good advice. Lord Brahma came. But the rest of Kali Yuga is unfortunate. One, they don't have good advice. And second, whatever advice they have, they make the wrong choices. So naturally, when someone makes a wrong choice, the consequence is the mind is disturbed. The mind is disturbed because, I want to mitigate this bad condition, or I want to enhance the little pleasure that I'm getting, and I make a wrong choice, and poof, all that vanishes. All my effort goes to waste. All the happiness that I was running after is not accessible. And what do I get? A lot of suffering in return. And because I get a lot of suffering in return, I become very, very disturbed. I become so disturbed that I don't know what to do. And what was that song? Jitendra Prabhu? I can get no satisfaction. And because one doesn't get any satisfaction, one goes back into doing very bad activities. Or into making bad choices again. So this becomes a very vicious cycle. One bad choice leads to terrible consequences that leads to further bad choices. And further bad behavior, bad choices, further suffering, further bad advice, further bad choice. And it never ends. Like when we are disturbed, our mind will present to us so many alternatives, which, by the way, are all bad. Because the mind is meant to give us bad advice, the conditioned mind. Unless the mind is purified, it cannot give us good advice. In fact, it is not designed to give good advice. But the mind is
Oh, not like this. Do like that. Say like this. Do like that. Say like this. Go do this. Go get a job. Go get, you know, change this career. Do that. It's called disturbed mind.
So it said all disturbance is vanquished when one begins bhakti. Kleshagni and Shubhada. Even in sadhana bhakti, if properly executed, if one follows carefully the vidhi, the ways of following sadhana bhakti, the mind becomes not disturbed. So in Nectar of Devotion, in the second chapter, Prabhupada explains, vidhi sadhana bhakti does not mean just blindly following rules and regulations. He cautions us, because that's what it really means. Vaidhi sadhana bhakti means practice of devotional service under rules and regulations. And Prabhupada cautions, it is not just following the rules and regulations. The regulation is actually to be guided by Guru. That is the rule. So in that context he gives, always remember Krishna, never forget him. All of the rules and regulations are but subservient to these two principles. And in that section, Prabhupada writes that the spiritual master is very creative. He thinks of different ways and means to make the disciple remember Krishna. This is actual Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Remember, while remembering Krishna, do one's duties. It's not just do one's duties by certain rules, it's to remember Krishna while following the rules. This is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then the mind is not disturbed. One can focus on what is one's purpose in life. Okay, any comments, questions? Jitendra Prabhu and then Jai Jagannath Prabhu. Go ahead, Prabhu. I was scared to mention that song. It was a big hit at the temple.
The rebuttal, well anyways, Vaisheshiko was distributing books at O'Hare Airport and Mick Jagger came through the airport. And Vaisheshika said, Mick, are you getting any satisfaction lately? And Mick said, don't bore me. So the devotees got a big chuckle out of that. Another thing is, you know, you remember the phrase, the razor's edge of Krishna
right.
consciousness.
Jai Jagannath Prabhu described a couple of days back.
And, you know, you brought the word up, manda, you know, and you said bad. Prabhupada also said slow and bad. So he kind of added that to it.
Thank you. I was going to talk a little about being spaced out, but anyway.
And then I remember that George Harrison had a song, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Mm. So that kind of like a Kali Yuga interjection. And then we always remember that verse, what is night for the conditioned soul is a time for awakening for the introspective sage.
Right. So, thank you. Jai Jagannath Prabhu. After Jai Jagannath Prabhu, Bhakta Matthew. He's wrapped up.
It seems that when pride captures the mind, then the mind becomes even more suspicious. You were mentioning about suspicious mind in the beginning of the class and pride. And so it seems that when pride is in the heart or it's captured in the mind, then the mind becomes even more suspicious of, you know, what people are saying, what is the actual intention. At least I know I have that experience on a personal level. It seems very hard to get over that because it's like the mind is suspicious, but because there's pride in the heart, you were like more or less like totally convinced that the image that's been created is like totally right on board. Mm-hmm. And it seems very hard to get out of that situation once it arises in the mind. So I was wondering, how does one deal with that on a personal level, especially if he's not feeling himself confident to reveal his suspicions like straightforwardly to anyone? Then how does a person get over that?
There is no solution. There is no solution unless one picks the alternative. It's like saying, I only have one choice. What do I do? We only have one choice. Unless you consider that there is an alternative, there's still only one choice. So the alternative is Gukhyam Akyati. It's important. Unless that happens, there is no alternative. One stays in that condition for a very long time. Or short time, as long as one doesn't, or until one considers the alternative. There's no solution. Yeah, but the loss of not saying is far greater than the loss of saying it. Because by saying it, at least the trace of the idea is that there might be an alternative. And one would want to work on something positive. By not saying, the clay pot is, it's called like the elephant in the room. You heard that saying, right? No. It's saying, hey, there's an elephant in the room. Meaning, everybody knows there's an elephant in the room, but nobody's saying anything. They look at each other and say, elephant? What elephant? No elephant. Everybody notices there's an elephant in the room. And no one says anything. So, what elephant? No, everything's fine. Haribo, that's good. Elephant? No. But there is a big elephant in the room. So we know it's there. No one says anything about it. So that danger is even more. It's worse. Back to Matthew. Can you turn on the mic, please?
I read somewhere that the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Okay.
It just kind of corresponded with what you're talking about with the materialistic way of life, and that the people are just kind of blindly going through their life.
There are categories of materialists. One is called the innocent materialist. It's just innocent and with all good intentions trying to do something in life. Then there is the foolish materialist. Foolish materialist is, he knows that there is an alternative but doesn't take it, called Naradama. Then there is the arrogant materialist, who is hell-bent on proving that his track is the right track. Maya apaharta jnana. And Asurim Bhava, that materialist, he doesn't care. He doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care about anyone else. He thinks he's perfect, and he is going to make it, and he's going to tell others how to make it. Siddhoham balavan sukhi. I'm happy being foolish. They don't say it like that, but you get the idea. I'm very happy. I don't need an alternative. This religion is a cop-out. I don't need that. I don't need you to tell me God and do like this, don't do like that. If you do like this, this will happen. If you don't do... All this fear, all this nonsense is just religion's way of controlling people. Nobody can control me. I'm already perfect. It's the only difference is it's a matter of time before people recognize that I'm perfect. But otherwise, I'm perfect. 16th chapter, Krishna describes that really harsh mentality. Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. So not all materialists are well-intentioned. Some materialists are. They're called innocent ones. Mudha. Krishna calls them mudha. Foolish. Just foolishly working because they look at others. Oh, they're working hard. They're making money. So I should also follow. Yeah, I should also do that. And when they look at the devotees, everything looks, wow, what is this? So in 1972, the devotees would travel by buses to Florida to distribute books because that was the warmest place in the country. From different temples. From Vancouver, there would be a bus party in Florida. Where's Prasad? From Vancouver, there would be a bus party. From California, there would be a bus party in Florida and all that. They were distributing books. One of them was the late Suhotra Prabhu. And at that time, they would distribute books in devotional clothes, dhoti and all that. They didn't think of putting on any other clothes to distribute their books. So they went door to door distributing books. So they went to one particular house and they knocked on the door. And from inside, a woman said, "Who's there?" So at that time, the devotees, they never thought of giving, you know, cute answers. They just said, "Ma'am, I'm from the Hare Krishna temple and I'm here distributing transcendental literature." And then the devotee heard, you know, the lock being opened. And the door opened out, and a man was looking through that with a gun pointed at the devotee. And as soon as he saw the devotee, you know, tilak on his face, shika, dhoti, he said, "What the hell?" And as soon as the devotee saw the gun, he said, "What, Hare Krishna?" And they both were in shock. The person inside the house was in a shock as to what is this creature outside my door. And the devotee was thinking, how can this person be so like this? You know, just you knock on the door and comes out with a gun. So the woman told the husband, it's all right, something. And then they got talking, and the devotee convinced them, and they became actually friendly and distributed a book and came out. So for the materialist, devotee is like, what? Who? What are you? Like, what is this? I sighted a UFO. Something like that. So not all materialists are necessarily innocent. Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.